Blog Talk Radio.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael Eric Cannon, and also my co-host, Elder David Clifton, and our historian, Elder Ryan Fountain. Thank God that we're able to be here another day to proclaim the engrafted Word of God, which James said is able to save your soul. We thank God for, we know that Apostle Paul said, the truth is in Jesus, giving witness that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So we thank God for this engrafted Word that we have on today. Amen. And there's nothing like the Word of God. It gets down into our spirit. We know the Hebrew writer says, for the Word of God is quick. That means it's alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing asunder to the dividing of soul and spirit, and as the joints and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Talking about the Word of God, neither is there any creature that is not made manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him which whom we have to do. That is the Word of God. So nothing like the Word of God. So we thank God that we've been able to, we did the Godhead our first 3 weeks. We've been through the Acts of the Apostles. We have been through the book of Romans. And then on today, we are going to be continuing with Paul, Apostle Paul, and his work that he done, and his establishing the churches and the history of the church. All these things are intertwined in what we have been talking about out of the Acts of the Apostles and also the Book of Romans. And today we're going to be venturing off in the first letter to the Corinthian church. We know that's 16 chapters in that. So we're going to be moving on in that. So, but before we do that, we're going to have our food for thought. Elder David Clifton.
Amen. Praise the Lord, everyone. Just briefly today, wanted to talk about something that is becoming, I guess you could say, popular in the world, and it seems to be trying to work its way into the church, and that is marriage between two men and or two women. Nowadays you have people trying to get those that call themselves Christians to accept those homosexual or lesbian marriages. But the Word of God speaks against that, and I just briefly want to read to you out of the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter number 19, and I just want to pick up here at verse number 4. And it reads as follows, and he is Jesus, because he was talking to the Pharisees, and the Pharisees here were trying to tempt him or jam him up with a question and dealing with divorce. And verse number 4 says, and he answered and said unto them, again, this is Jesus speaking, have ye not read that he which has made them at the beginning made them male and female? And for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. So we need to understand that marriage is between a man and a woman. That is what God joins together. God is not any marriages between two men. God is not in the joining of two women together. The world may allow that, but God does not recognize it. Therefore, the church should not recognize it. Amen?
Amen. My food for thought is coming out of the 133rd Psalm. I just want to read the first verse. It says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." And I just wanted to state that this show is a broadcast for truth and is a medium for truth. And I want to say how much I appreciate that we are able to speak the truth on this airway and let people know, and how much that I love to come to this broadcast. And I haven't been able to make it out the last few weeks. And I was telling my brother yesterday that I really miss coming out, and that there is so good that we come together in unity to speak the truth. Because whenever brethren unite and come together in the name of God, we can speak truth.
Amen.
One to another.
Amen.
and spread the gospel. And that's how the gospel is spread, through his truth and through the right division of his word. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, just like Jesus says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So folks don't understand, like I said earlier, the quote out of the church at Ephesus, Apostle Paul said that the truth is in Jesus. And that he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." So the truth will make you free.
Mm-hmm.
So like a lot of things that are going on, even like last week we mentioned on this so-called Christmas spirit,
mm-hmm.
which means Christ Mass, and it derives from the Catholic Church, which means a Mass for Christ is what it's talking about. And the Pope, he's going to celebrate Christmas because they're the ones that's kicking this thing on. And people, and some of our folks that don't even really have they got a jelly back, I say, even folks who know the truth keep talking about, "Yeah, Christmas has become so commercialized." It always was. It's God is not in this. The birth of Christ and Christ Mass or Christmas is two different things. And he never had anything to do with that. And what he had told us is to remember his death. And we do understand about his birth, and we know about that. And we know that he came, he came to give his life and to give his life a ransom for many. So we know about that. But the fact that all of these folks are giving each other gifts, folks out stealing and taking people's purses and shopping and getting in debt, all this stuff that they're doing in the name of, they don't even know why.
Yeah.
Have you got your Christmas shopping done? I mean, why? Who got to meet a deadline? I mean, you got folks all hustle bustle, all of this. And like I said, at the same time, the Bible says use this world, and we use the world goods and not abuse it. I've had much time. I worked for GM for 30 years, and even before that, I was in automotive, and I had many days off during the Christmas season. So I'm not giving the money away or none of that. I'm not crazy, but I do know the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what makes sense.
Amen. They say the truth hurts.
Yeah.
But the truth will also make
you
free.
Make you free.
If you accept it, amen.
Yeah.
So I'd rather be hurt and made free,
yeah,
than to be living or stuck in lives that the world and or the devil have created.
Right.
Really, it's bondage.
It is.
Because all you're doing is creating debt for yourself, creating
right.
credit debt for yourself,
mm-hmm.
trying to buy your kids all this stuff, trying to buy family members who you don't talk to all year round, and you don't really like them.
Right.
Let's be honest.
Yeah.
You don't really like some of these people that you're buying gifts for, but you're just trying to be nice because they're family or whatever they are,
mm-hmm.
and all you're doing is creating debt for yourself.
Right. And I had a brother-in-law, he's deceased now, but he said this guy came up to him at Ford, said, "Have a Merry Christmas." He told him, "If you don't get out of my face," this guy don't never speak to him. He got nerve, and then that's what people do. That's what we got to look at. People so-called get into Christmas spirit.
Mm-hmm.
This spirit ought to be going on all year round. Folks ought to be trying to help others and hungry people and all of that. Then that brings to mind the new Speaker of the House is going to take office on next month, and he was on 60 Minutes, and, you know, for some reason he's crying all the time. That's what everybody keeps saying, why is he crying? But these Republicans, they don't care about nobody. They don't care about, they want tax cuts. They don't care about fair wages, collective bargaining, and none of that. So the Bible tells us better than all of that. You know, give that which is just and equal in the book of Colossians, knowing that you have a Father also in heaven, and there is no respect of persons with him. So, it doesn't matter what you are. You can call yourself Republican, Democratic, and all of that. You know, it's just foolishness. The thing is that you want to do right by people. Just like Whoopi Goldberg said in that Color Purple, said, you're going to do right by me. You're going to pay. So we know the Bible said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. So we thank God for that. So that being said, we're going to move on. We're going to give you into the hands of our historian. We're going to be going into the book of 1 Corinthians. Mm-hmm. So if we got any comments or anything we want to say about the Book of Romans that we just completed, we can get that out of the way before we go into the Book of Corinthians. And we know that Romans was a mighty Apostle Paul's masterpiece.
Yes.
And a lot of things that were justification, and ending up with glorification. But knowing that Abraham was the father of faith and the gospel was preached unto him, how he didn't stagger at the promises of God through unbelief, but he was strong in faith, giving the glory and glory to God. And how we were justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We know in the sixth chapter we've been planted together in his likeness. We shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing that the old man is crucified, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Apostle Paul goes on to say, he that is dead is freed from sin. We know in the seventh chapter he talked about the law. The eighth chapter, about we're not condemned. There's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. We know the ninth, the tenth, and the 11th chapter, they're talking about Israel.
Yes.
And, and in the ninth chapter, 11 and 29, the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. God gave Israel, the Jews, the oracles of God, and he's not going to change his mind about that. So all Israel is going to be saved. That is 144,000 of the remnant, those that are left over out of all the tribes.
Yes.
Because we know initially, even at Pentecost, there were Jews from every nation under heaven. Folks were there from all over.
Mm-hmm.
But Israel as a nation did not accept the Messiah.
Yes.
And they're not accepting him now during the church age. But we know God is going to turn back to Israel. So all Israel is going to be saved, the remnant that's left over. So we thank God for his word. And then we know that things, they're talking about meat, talking about things that we can do, we do to offend our brother. We don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why the world standeth. So there's a lot of things, and how we got to be fully persuaded in our own mind, and as convictions and all of that. But the whole key is what we all got to look at, and what we're going to stress even during going through the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, is that these things were written to people that were already saved.
That's right.
People
that's
in
right.
the church.
And that's something in the introduction to all of the Pauline epistles. He declares who he is speaking to.
Yeah.
And I think somewhere, probably within the first 10 verses of every single one of Paul's letters,
mm-hmm.
you will see who he is addressing in those letters.
Yeah.
And, just some background as I was, preparing for today's show, just looking at the epistles, and another thing that a lot of us don't think of, we have them in a specific order in our Bible, but one of the things is 1 Corinthians was actually the fourth letter written by the Apostle Paul, although we see it second coming after Romans.
Yes.
It says that it was written, somewhere around A.D. 59.
Mm-hmm.
This was one. This was his fourth letter, chronology or a chronicle that he wrote. And also another good point, and I didn't really know this until I actually sat down. The reason that they are ordered the way they are in our Bible, number one is we know that Paul wrote epistles to several churches, as we have said before,
mm-hmm.
and then he wrote to individuals, and they decided those that. Collectively put the Bible together is they ordered them the epistles in order by their length.
from longest all the way down to the smallest. So
yeah.
Romans being the longest, 1 Corinthians being the second, and so on and so on. And then it goes into the personal epistles that he wrote to individuals. But as Elder Kenneth said, one thing we have to understand is in all these epistles, he was writing to saints. He was writing to churches. And as we're going to find out here in the first epistle to the Corinthians, he was dealing with what we would say some very simple or basic things as far as your Christian walk.
Yeah.
And a lot of the issues that Paul is going to deal with in this first epistle, I can see these things kind of now in our churches nowadays. Some of the issues that he's going to deal with is we know there was an issue with incest. There was a huge issue with the spiritual gifts, primarily speaking in tongues and prophecy. And if we all are familiar with what's going on in the land, that's something that we see, especially with this spirit of prophecy, everyone being prophets.
Right.
He was dealing with, is it okay to eat meats that have been offered up to idols? So a lot of these things are basic, if you will, when it comes to walking with God. But he had to deal with these things because this was a very young church, and there were some things that was going on. They were out of order. So Paul had to set things in order, if
right.
you will. Amen?
Yes. So just before we give you into the hands of our historian, our call-in number is 646-716-6566. That's area code 646-716-6566. So we're going to give you into the hands of our historian, Elder Ryan Fountain.
And just to add on to what Elder Clifton was saying, that again, this was an out-of-order church. There was a lot of things that Paul had to put in order, and Paul technically was the pastor of this church.
Amen.
Because he started with it, and he spent the most time with this church and
yeah.
with this congregation. But yet still, there was a lot of things when he left, and he left them into their own devices that they started twisting and putting paganism back into the gospel.
Amen.
And that was one of Paul's major things. He tried to keep Judaism out of the gospel and all the traditions of the law and all the traditions of the Jews,
mm-hmm.
and also to keep paganism out of the gospel
yeah.
and keep all of those paganistic rituals out of the preaching of the gospel.
Yeah.
And they were yet bringing that kind of stuff back into it, and they were really trying to create demigods out of the apostles and out of the preachers that came through that city. As was going in the first chapter, they were all taking discipleship with different preachers.
Right.
And they were making factions and
mm-hmm.
divisions within themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And also that there were some that was even questioning Paul's apostleship.
Amen.
And whether he was fit to be a pastor, fit to be an apostle.
Mm-hmm.
So he deals with all of that kind of stuff within the gospel. And then at the very end of this letter, he once again reestablishes the gospel to them in the 15th chapter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So without further ado, we will go on into 1 Corinthians, starting at chapter 1, verse number 1. It says, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother. So Paul was, we understand Paul was called to be an apostle
yeah.
through the will of God. So there was the will of God that Paul be the apostle, and he was actually the 12th apostle, because the 12th apostle was Judas, but Judas fell out of his bishopric. So when we read this in the first chapter of Acts,
correct.
They first brought in Matthias,
mm-hmm.
but that was through casting of lots.
Right.
And it was not according to the New Testament order.
Right.
Or the will of God.
Or the will of God. Right. They did this on their own.
Mm-hmm.
God did not tell them to do this. They did this. But then God had his chosen vessel,
mm-hmm.
who he wanted to be the 12th apostle of the Lamb. And that was Paul. And he brought him forth in the 9th chapter of Acts. And he was indeed the apostle to the Gentiles, as he says in the book of Galatians. So he is called an apostle through the will of God unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place called upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. So you have to be sanctified in Jesus Christ in order to respond to this letter.
Amen.
And you have to be called to be a saint. So you have to, there's two requirements for you to be able to say that this letter belongs to me.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be sanctified through Jesus Christ, and that's through his blood, because the blood is that which sanctifies us, and that's what cleanses us and sets us apart. And you have to be called. You have to receive the call of Jesus Christ through his spirit. Amen.
Right. And, you are a saint. You don't
yes.
have to wait on nobody to declare you to be a saint after you've been dead for centuries. That's foolishness.
Amen.
A group of men
Amen.
To say, oh, yeah, well, so-and-so, we think we're going to elect them for sainthood. No. It doesn't matter if you just are the least in the church.
Amen.
You are called to be a saint.
And,
this is written to people that are saved.
And that practice is indeed paganism.
Mm-hmm.
It's making a person a god.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the Greek world did. That's what the Roman world did. They made themselves demigods out of the people,
mm-hmm.
people that they looked and admired upon.
Mm-hmm.
They made them into gods themselves.
Amen.
And it's false worship.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a way of making many gods. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a monotheistic, but rather polytheistic. And the Catholic Church itself.
They're the ones.
They're the ones that started this making
right.
saints stuff. But you have to understand that the Catholic Church and the Catholic priesthood came out of a paganistic ritual
mm-hmm.
society. That priesthood did not begin the Christian Church.
Amen.
That
right.
priesthood began before the Christian Church, and they just hid themselves behind Christian names and
Amen.
Christian titles
mm-hmm.
and this Christian book. In order to make themselves in power with the people, because Christianity was such a popular religion in that day. It was popular among the common people
mm-hmm.
and not necessarily among the aristocracy.
Mm-hmm.
But when it started getting into the aristocracy, that's when this priesthood began to infiltrate itself and take control over the people. Amen.
Amen. And that is, brother, that is how a lot of the pagan holidays and the pagan worship that's going on nowadays has ushered or snuck its way into the church, just
mm-hmm.
as it did in the Old
yeah.
Testament.
Mm-hmm.
These people would want to be converted, and some of them would be converted, but they didn't want to let go of things that was in the world or should have stayed in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So they would bring in those pagan gods or that pagan worship and try to stamp the name of Christianity on it because
mm-hmm.
they wanted to keep it. So as my brother said earlier, that is one of the things that the Apostle Paul is going to deal with the church in Corinth, with these people's their background being of a Greek background.
Mm-hmm.
That is one of the reasons that they tried to usher in and keep some of the things that they did, and thank God for the Apostle Paul for setting them straight.
Yeah.
And shame on some of these pastors nowadays that's not setting these things straight that people are trying to keep nowadays. Amen.
Right, right, because they're benefiting.
Amen.
Financially.
Yeah, exactly. So now as we go on, it says, "Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you,
mm-hmm.
so that ye come behind in no gift waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We shall also confirm you unto the end that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye speak all the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." So he's given exhortation unto them, telling them that there is a testimony that all of you have received of Jesus Christ, and that you should be living a blameless life in Jesus Christ,
yeah.
and that Jesus Christ is a witness for you, and that you are in fellowship with him. You are actually, when you receive the Holy Ghost, you actually receive fellowship with God.
Yes.
God is able, you are actually able to open up communication between God and man, and the Spirit speaks through you. You speak through the Holy Ghost unto God, and God will speak unto you through the Holy Ghost and through the Scriptures. So you are actually in fellowship with Jesus Christ. You are actually in fellowship with God.
Yeah.
And we know that God and Jesus Christ are one and the same. So this is what he's exhorting unto them, and he's telling them that they should all have the same judgment. They should all have the same mind. They should all have the same thought pattern in order to follow after Jesus Christ. Now, does that mean that we should be robots following after Jesus Christ and just living ordinary, boring lives? No, you still have a personality.
Yeah.
There's a personality within you.
Yeah.
There's a spirit within you. And that spirit should be controlled by the Holy Ghost, which is controlling your body and your members, and you should be able to give glory unto God. Amen?
Yes. Amen.
So that same mind is a same mind to serve God and to follow after his will and to follow after his judgment. So we are not forcing you to do this. This is of your own free will.
Yes.
That's what God gave us, was free will. And it is of your own free will that you serve after him. So he's beseeching them. He's really begging them.
He's
going after them wholeheartedly.
Yes.
For it hath been declared unto me of you, verse 11, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now, this house of Chloe is a upstanding house within this congregation. It is one of the prestigious families within this, and they're one of the leaders. The leadership of this church.
Amen.
And they kept in close contact with Paul, and they were telling them all the things that were happening within the church.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas. Cephas we know as Peter.
Yeah.
And I of Christ. Now, there's four major factions that are pointed out right here. There's those that accept the gospel of Paul, and they would only accept the gospel preached by Paul.
Mm-hmm.
There were those that said they were of Apollos, and they would only accept the gospel preached by Apollos. There were those that said they were of Peter, and they would only accept that gospel. And then there's those that said they are of Christ, and they would only accept directly from Jesus Christ himself, which
mm-hmm.
is kind of scary to me, because it's that same spirit that says that God speaks to them all the time, 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
God only speaks through his sonship, and his sonship is in this word. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
The New Testament is what speaks of the Son in this day.
Yeah.
This is how God speaks in this day, is through this book.
Yeah.
And the Old Testament foreshadows him. The New Testament reveals him.
Amen.
And that is what the book of Hebrews, he spake unto the fathers in times past by the prophets, but in this day he speaks unto us by his Son.
Yes.
And his dear Son.
Yeah.
And I believe Elder Cannon has the scripture.
Yeah, the first verse in the book of Hebrews, and it's so important. The first word, God, comma,
mm-hmm.
the subject is God.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, just like he just said, like Elder Fountain just said, who had sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. That's in times past.
Mm-hmm.
That's in these last days spoken unto us by his Son.
Uh-huh.
So the sonship is the office that he's operating through right now.
Amen.
That's what we try to make plain.
Amen.
People don't understand, like the God of the Old Testament, the Jehovah, you never hear see the name Jehovah after you leave the book Isaiah anymore in the Bible. But Jehovah, Jesus has become our salvation.
Amen.
Jesus is the one in the New Testament. That's why he was saying that if you believe in me, as the scripture has said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. So it's all in Jesus. So that's why they said, we heard statements in the book of Acts, this Jesus whom Paul preaches.
Yes.
Yes.
And what's scary about these that say that I am of Christ, it means they're only hearing Christ.
Yes.
They're only hearing a spirit speak unto them. And that's scary, because you have to have a man leading you.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
God always placed the gospel in the hands of men.
Yes.
Paul, when he was saved, he spoke directly with the Spirit of Christ.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ personally appeared unto him and shine on him on the road to Damascus.
Yes.
But Jesus Christ could not preach the gospel unto him
right.
at that point because it was out of order.
Right.
God had set an order that the men of God had to preach the gospel unto other men.
That's right.
And so that's why he had to go into Damascus and sit on the street straight and wait for Ananias to come
that's
preach
right.
unto
mm-hmm.
him.
Exactly.
A man had to come unto him. Amen?
Yes.
So these people that say they're only hearing the Spirit of Christ, they're only hearing what God has directly revelation here, tell them what to eat for breakfast and what store to go to and and what novel to read for the day.
Amen.
they ain't reading the Bible. They
right.
they reading anything else but the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And but the Spirit's always speaking to them on what they should be doing. These
mm-hmm.
people are scary because
yeah.
that you hear voices. Man, it says that Satan himself can hide himself as an angel of light.
Yeah,
transform himself as an angel of light.
Mm-hmm.
So that they could be hearing any sort of false spirit speaking unto them.
Mm-hmm.
Man, and these people, they don't realize it, and they don't have the discernment of spirit.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so they don't know the difference of this. And we'll deal with this later on because that is one of the gifts that Paul has to set in order is the discernment of spirit.
Amen.
Because
Amen.
They were using these gifts out of order. Amen. It is one of the gifts of the body of Christ.
Yes.
So as we move on, it says, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were ye baptized in the name of Paul? So now we understand right here, if you look through right division, it says, were you baptized in the name of Paul? No, they weren't. Is Christ divided? No, he's not.
No.
Was Paul crucified for you?
No.
No, he wasn't. Who was crucified for you? The Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah,
whose name were you baptized in? Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
This is who Paul baptized them in the name of.
Yes. And I think it's good to note here, when he was talking about the division, and I think we've dealt with this before, but there are some out there that will say that this division is speaking of the different denominations that fall under the umbrella of Christianity.
Mm.
So they'll say that the apostolics and the Church of God in Christ and the Baptists, that we should all come together, that there should not be any division amongst us.
Mm-hmm.
Again, they're taking this scripture and they're butchering. As my pastor would say,
mm-hmm.
if you look at when he was dealing with the divisions, as Elder Fountain was saying here, these brothers were all apostolic brothers
right.
that they were joining themselves unto. It wasn't of different faith that they were joining themselves to.
Right.
It was brothers that were within the apostolic faith.
So now, what you could say is, is Christ divided? Were you baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost?
No.
You weren't.
Right.
This church was not baptized like that. They
no.
were baptized
in
the name
Christ.
Of Jesus Christ, of
yeah.
the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of their sins.
Mm-hmm.
He goes on to tell them that their sins have been washed away.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We'll read that in the sixth chapter.
Yeah.
So their sins were washed away in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I thank God I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius. Lest any should say that I have baptized in my own name. I didn't baptize in my own name. I baptized in Jesus' name.
Yes.
I baptized also the household of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other.
Mm-hmm.
For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is another scripture that is taken out of order frequently.
Right.
Says that... this is where they say that baptism is not essential
right.
for salvation.
That's right.
Where they say that Christ sent me not to baptize. Well, he didn't send Paul to baptize
right.
that church.
Right.
He didn't send Paul to baptize. He sent Paul to preach.
Yeah.
But he had others baptized.
Yeah.
He says it right there in the previous verses
right.
that Crispus and Gaius did the baptizing. Those were members of his party
Amen.
That were following with him.
Right.
They did the baptizing.
Right.
So it wasn't that baptism wasn't used in that church or any other church. Baptism was used, but
right.
Paul wasn't the one that was baptizing them.
Amen. Right, and then he just spoke about baptism, those that he baptized
uh-huh.
in the previous verse or the previous a couple of verses. So why would he turn around and condemn it? He's
Amen.
Not.
Amen.
He's not condemning.
Amen.
And it's got, just like you say, this is written to people that were already saved. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's setting the house in order.
Yeah.
Right.
Amen. So these people have all been baptized.
Yes.
And he only baptized one household, himself.
Yes.
For, as we go on, verse 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Have not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. So, preaching is foolishness to
yes.
most people.
Yes.
And you can go in many intellectual circles today and start preaching the word of truth unto them.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes a mind of faith to grasp onto this
yeah.
gospel, because mm-hmm. you have to understand the resurrection. The resurrection isn't something that you can just know. It's not a physical thing that is common in
right.
this day and age.
Amen.
It is something that happens that is supernatural, that
right.
is something that has to happen through God. And people don't grasp onto that because it's not in science books and
right.
it's not
Amen.
In philosophy books.
Amen.
The resurrection is something that is purely based on faith.
Yeah.
You have to have faith that the resurrection is going to happen. You
right.
have to have faith that resurrections have happened
mm-hmm.
and that they can happen at any time.
And that's why Paul was condemning, if you will, wisdom here, because he's telling them again that the background of the Greeks, they're people that seek after wise things. You think
mm-hmm.
of all these so-called wise men and these wise saying all these great Greek philosophers, and
mm-hmm.
what he was saying, look, all your wisdom, it's not needed here, as Elder
right.
Bonner was saying. This is a walk that takes faith. It
right.
takes for you to believe. So it's nothing that you can really figure out. You can't have these great deep sayings about this. Is just something that once you hear it, you have to believe it. Amen.
Right.
Amen. It's not something that's concrete in the physical world.
Right.
It is something very abstract.
Uh-huh.
And philosophy doesn't always deal with abstract things in this manner.
Uh-huh.
They deal with the concrete that you can see in this world, and that's how philosophy works.
Right.
But this is going on to a whole nother different
right.
way of thinking. And this is what he's telling them, that the foolishness and the wisdom in the world that they are living in the Greek world that they live in, is all foolishness unto God.
Right.
So you can be a fool for God, or you can be a fool for man's wisdom. And I'm going to tell you right now, God's foolishness is going to win out every single time,
right.
because God's wisdom is not like our wisdom.
Amen.
His thoughts are not as our thoughts.
Right.
They are much higher. And he has a plan that he has laid out from the foundation of the world. And if you are not in that plan, you will be taken out of the way.
Amen.
And tossed into outer darkness, as we would say.
Yeah.
So as we move on, for after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. Now, the Jews, he was a stumbling block because they were the ones that crucified him.
That's right.
Yeah.
And so they'd have to admit and humble themselves and admit that they crucified the Lord of glory.
Yeah.
And the Greeks just saw it as foolishness because there you're talking about this man that hung up on a cross
mm-hmm.
and stayed there. He had the power to come off, but he stayed up there, and then he got buried, and then you say that he rose again
mm-hmm.
on his own will, on his own power. And it just didn't happen in that day and age. Those things didn't happen.
Right.
You couldn't tell a Greek person that a person can wake up on his own accord. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Right.
So That is why it's foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men.
Yeah.
For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised God hath chosen, yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. So all the knowledge that we have gained in this lifetime really means nothing compared to the knowledge we can gain in Jesus Christ.
Right.
I have a bachelor's degree from Eastern Michigan University, and it really, it could mean absolutely nothing in my place in God.
Right.
I use it to my advantage to learn more about God and learn more about Jesus Christ, but everything that I've learned in the College of Arts and Sciences means nothing in the mind of God. Everything that means something in the mind of God, because the mind of God is laid out in this book.
Yeah.
66 books of judgment.
Yeah.
This is the mind of God laid out before us.
Yeah.
You have to know this knowledge. You have to know this wisdom in order to be successful in God.
Amen.
You
right.
can learn all the success out in the world through colleges and universities. And by all means, if that's what you want to do, go ahead and do it. But you still need to learn the knowledge and wisdom that is within this book and get an understanding of what's in this book.
Amen.
And follow after a ministry that believes in this book.
Amen.
According to the truth in Jesus Christ, in order to get the truth in God and to follow after his truth. Amen?
Right, yeah, because you got to become a fool to become wise.
Yes.
If you want to call this foolishness. But I like, right, he said, verse 26, for you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise.
Uh-huh.
So Apostle Paul, he didn't say not any. He said not many.
Uh-huh.
So even the Apostle Paul himself was an exception. Just like somebody said that Apostle Paul, had degrees.
Yes.
He was a wise man.
Mm-hmm.
But he said he counted it all dung that he might win Christ.
Yeah,
so it shows you. You know, that's why he wrote here like he did, because he knows how the mind of men were, what the Jews require, what the Greeks seek after. But he went on to let them know Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God.
Yes.
So that's saying something. God, he can't be the wisdom of God unless he is God himself.
Amen.
To be the wisdom of God.
And you're right. Paul was one of the most learned men.
Yes.
In the New Testament. He had studied under the highest sect of the Pharisees.
Right.
Under the seat of Gamaliel. That was the most revered leader within the Pharisee sect. So he learned under a mighty man. He knew,
yeah.
He knew Greek. He knew Latin. He knew Hebrew. He knew languages.
Yeah.
That's how he was able to go unto all these people.
Right.
And present himself, because he knew how to connect with these people.
Right.
He was learned in these people's languages. But he counted all for dung for
right.
Christ's sake.
And then I think with that King Agrippa in his 26th chapter of Acts, he tried to be sarcastic when he said, much learning has made you mad.
Uh-huh.
You know, no, it ain't made him mad.
Amen.
And it almost makes me think of Apollos also.
Yeah.
It says he was an eloquent man. I do believe it says that he was mighty.
In the scripture.
In the scripture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it goes on to say, as mighty as he was and as
right.
an eloquent speaker as he
right.
was, Priscilla and Aquila had to take him aside
right.
and teach him a more excellent way. So
right.
all that he knew about the law, he still had to be taught, if you will, in the scriptures a more excellent way. That means he didn't know it all.
Right.
So as Elder Fonda was saying, you can have as many PhDs as you want according to the world, but do you have knowledge of the scriptures? Are you able to rightly divide the word of God? Are you able to take scriptures and apply them in the manner that God intended for them to be applied?
Amen.
Yeah.
And even the man Moses, it said Moses, in the 7th chapter of Acts, he was learning all the wisdom of the Egyptians and mighty in words and deeds.
Yeah.
So he was very learned in the ways of the world.
Yes.
But God had, it meant nothing to God. God had to take him out of that setting and put him in a whole other setting and
right.
re-educate him to be a shepherd in order to lead his people.
Right. And I think today we have some people have I don't know what you would call it, but they think, yeah, my father was a preacher, my grandfather was a preacher, so what?
You got to know God for yourself.
You got to know God for yourself. You got to do right. I mean, you got to be a righteous man. We see that there were wicked kings. There were kings that came along. After that were kings that were righteous kings.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't matter who was your father. And people are caught up in that. Now, if you, I tell you who your father is, if you're not living right, the devil is your father. You got to do right. You know, ain't no monopoly over here. You know,
Amen.
We all got to line up with the book.
That's right. Yes, yes.
And in the book.
And that's what he's saying. You have to line up in the wisdom of God
yeah.
rather than the wisdom of men.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like it said, the wisdom of God is stronger than the wisdom
yeah.
of men.
Mm-hmm.
So, as he keeps establishing this base, we go on into chapter number 2 and it says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God." That means he didn't come with these big words that
yeah.
you have to look up in a dictionary
right.
every 2 seconds and stringing them all together.
Yeah.
as there's some people out there that do that.
Yeah.
There's some people that you really can get lost listening to
right.
them because they are so uplifted in their pride and in their knowledge of big words.
Yeah. Right, yeah. right. And like this one radio host say, he had years ago, he went away to school in the 60s, late 60s. He came back talking big words, and his grandfather told him, he said, "Put it where the goats can get it." And so he uses that now.
Mm-hmm.
He uses that terminology. So he said, "Explain it to me like I'm in the second grade."
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, make it plain to other people so they can understand that.
Yeah, because what good is it if you
got
it for yourself, but
yeah.
you can't give it to anybody else?
Yeah,
that's right.
And that's what the gospel is all about. He wasn't trying to put it over people's heads.
Mm-hmm.
He was trying to get people closer unto God.
Yes.
So it says, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling.
Mm-hmm.
And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of spirit and power.
Yeah.
And that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God.
Yeah.
Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God and a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory." So there's hidden wisdom.
Yeah.
Christ was even hid in God.
Mm-hmm.
Even before the foundation of the world.
Yeah.
He was this lamb slain before the foundation of the world. He was hidden within God. And there was, like I said, there was foreshadowings of him within the Old Testament. There was those that spoke unto him, but it was like as a cloud darkened over their faces. They could only speak as far as the cloud would let them see.
Yeah.
So they were in a fog, and they could not have the whole revelation. They could not reveal the whole vision. But the vision was then revealed after John the Baptist baptized him in the River Jordan. That glory was all revealed
yeah.
unto the people.
Mm-hmm.
And he walked among the people, but the people still did not recognize it, and the people still had blinders on.
Right.
Just as Moses had a veil on, they had a veil over their hearts. And they could not believe on what he was preaching. And they did not know it. So because they did not know it, they went ahead and crucified
right.
the one that came and that was being spoken of for thousands of years. From the time of Adam.
Right.
This is what was spoken of unto the people. And it revealed himself unto them. It was made, as in said in Isaiah, he said the arm of the Lord was made bare unto
right.
the people.
Mm-hmm.
So he was uncovered for all to see.
Right.
But he was only revealed to a certain people that believed on him.
Right.
Because he goes on to say in Isaiah, in 53rd, chapter, first verse, it says, "Who is the arm of the Lord revealed?"
Right.
So he uncovered himself for all to see, but only revealed himself to a certain number.
Right.
And those that he was not revealed unto him went ahead and crucified him, but it was all to the will of God. God foreordained this according to his foreknowledge that the people were going to reject him, because there are those that are not going to believe on the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are those that are not going to follow after what God's will is. They are going to follow after their own will, and it was according to their will, but it was according to God's will also, because God wanted them to crucify him so that he could redeem the world and those that were in the world, in order to call them out and bring them into the church of God.
Right. And as you were saying that, dealing with revealing himself to certain individuals, you're bringing back in my mind when he was standing before Pilate, and he stood mute there.
Mm-hmm.
He did not reveal who he was.
Uh-huh.
But then in another instance, when he was talking with the lady at the well, someone that people will look down upon,
uh-huh.
he revealed himself to that woman at the well. So
right.
again, it's dealing with, you are not going to get the full revelation of who Jesus is unless he reveals himself to you.
Right.
And it shows that he was dealing with this great man, this king,
mm-hmm.
that should have been very wise, but he had no idea who he was talking to. He had to ask Jesus
right.
who he was. And Jesus stood there mute. He chose not to reveal himself because, as Elder Founder said, he had to go to the cross. He knew
mm-hmm.
if he would have revealed who he was, this man had the power to stop the crucifixion from happening, but that would have put a roadblock, if you will, in the plan of God. So again, it's very powerful when you look at whom God chooses to reveal himself to. That is why a lot of people are still lost nowadays. It's number one because God has not revealed himself, but they are not setting themselves up, because they're glorying, as Elder Cannon was saying, in who they know or who they came up under and how much they know about God. And,
mm-hmm.
and they use, as we were saying, these big enticing words, and they come off and they seem very smart. Some people are enticed by these type of speakers, and they think because they sound so intelligent and because they use these words that you need a thesaurus or a dictionary to find, they think that these men have it all,
right?
But they are foolish when it comes to the wisdom of God. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Right. So as we move on, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of men the things which God hath prepared for them that love him.
Mm-hmm.
But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. So in order to learn about the deep things of God, in order to get revelations of God, you have to be revealed unto them by his Spirit.
Yes.
And like I was saying before, the Old Testament, the Spirit would come upon the prophets and come up off of the prophets.
Right.
So the prophets would be able to, they would have what alcoholics would call a moment of clarity. And they would see as far as the vision would let them see,
mm-hmm.
and then the vision would come up off of them. And then they would go back, I believe it's 1st or 2nd Peter says that they would go back searching the things which the Spirit that came upon them was speaking of.
Mm-hmm.
They would have to go back and search the Scriptures
mm-hmm.
for it. And so, but we now have the Spirit within us. So that Spirit can now reveal through us these Scriptures.
Right.
And we can now see the vision.
Amen.
And we still don't see the vision in its totality,
mm-hmm.
but we know that that we see further with the vision.
Right.
Because there's certain things we just can't see, but we see it by faith.
Right.
Right.
I can't see the resurrection physically in front of me, but I know it by faith.
Yeah.
Because the resurrection happened within me.
That's right.
Right.
So that's how we see it by faith. We have the whole vision by faith.
Yeah.
Because he laid out the whole vision for us to know what will happen to us.
Right. And we know the signs of the times. We know what time it is and it's getting near.
Mm-hmm.
Just like a woman during childbirth, they're going to have labor pains when they get so close to let you know. You know, when just like the Bible talks about Zion, when she travails, she brings forth her children.
Uh-huh.
So we know it's near, even at the door. With the signs of the times, everything is lining up. We can see what's lining up, that the soon coming of the Lord to catch the church away.
Yes.
It's going to be trouble like never before after the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period. Then, like I also heard on the day about this certain group, a religious group, is partially owned by the Federal Reserve.
Uh-huh.
So we can see everything's going to be a one-world religion, going to be one-world government, going to be a one-world currency. We see everything lining up because the value of the dollar is virtually zero.
Yeah.
Not worth much at
saying,
all.
We as in the saints, we can see these things.
Mm-hmm.
And a major thing is we shouldn't and we can't glory within our own selves because we see these things, because it's not our own minds that's letting us see these things. It's by the revelation of the Spirit that dwells within us, as the other final was saying. And just to go back, I just want to catch the scripture here. Chapter 1 and verse number 6, when he says, even the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if you understand the testimony of Christ, which is the death, burial, and the resurrection,
mm-hmm.
that is his testimony, it's confirmed in you
by
the receiving of the Holy Ghost. So we have the testimony of Christ in us, and that is how we're going to receive all of the revelations that we get, because you can tell an unregenerated man some of the things, the hidden things of God. They're not going to be able to understand it because it hasn't been revealed to them.
Right. Amen. And I would like to say this. Like I said, I know our time is far spent, but really the proof is in the pudding, as they say. The very fact that all this technology, that God has given the wisdom for all of these things to happen, people don't want to believe in the resurrection. I mean, instant messaging, like that's proof. Like in a moment, we're going to be changed in a twinkling of an eye.
Mm-hmm.
Do you... You believe that smartphone, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you believe the word?
Mm-hmm. Amen. So now, we are almost done here, so we're going to try to get through the second chapter. It says, for what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God. So you have to have the Holy Ghost to know the things of God.
Yes.
Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given unto us of God, which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned.
Yeah.
But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who have known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ.
Yeah.
So no man instructed God on what he should do and how he should lay out his plan, but God has given us the mind of Christ that we may, in essence, look upon what his plan was and what his purpose is for the church and what his purpose is for the church after this world. And the world can't see it because the world does not have the spirit to see it.
Right.
They don't have the ability to see it because it's all this stuff that we speak of is spiritually discerned. And you have to have the spirit of God in order to understand the things of God.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And just as you have to have the spirit of a man to understand the things of a man, a chimpanzee can't fully understand what a man has because he's not a man.
Right.
You can teach a monkey sign language, you can teach him different things, but he can't understand what it is to be a man. He can't understand the knowledge and the wisdom of a man because he doesn't have the capacity. Amen?
Yeah.
So you have to have the Spirit of God in order to know the things of God and know how God operates in this world. Amen?
Yeah, amen.
And on that,
amen.
I think we can close.
Okay.
Thank you for listening to Truth Ministry. We hope this broadcast has been a blessing. And you can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. That is truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. God bless you.